My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
The scripture says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Welcome to our series of lessons of answering denominational doctrines. In this lesson, we're going to be looking at the doctrine of faith alone. Is faith alone all that a person has to have to be saved? Are we saved at the point that we mentally accept and recognize Jesus as the Son of God and Savior of the world? Multiplied millions of people believe this idea. They believe that all you've got to do, that at the point of belief alone, a person is saved. Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, first, let's represent this fairly by noting some of the famous teachers and believers of this doctrine to see exactly what they say concerning it. For example, Martin Luther had this to say concerning faith alone. He said, "Our salvation is through faith alone. We only need to believe that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who died to redeem us." And so one of the famous proponents of this doctrine was Martin Luther. And he said it's only by faith alone. That means all you've got to do is believe Jesus died for your sins and accept Him as Savior. But he's not the only one who believed that. In the Methodist Book of Discipline, they say this: "We are accounted righteous before God only for the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by faith, and not for our own works or deservings. Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort." Whether it's comforting or not, we want to ask the question, is it of God? Is it biblical? They believe at the moment you mentally accept Jesus, you are saved. Is that what the Bible says? Please understand as we begin this lesson, we are not denying that a person must believe in Jesus. There's no doubt. The Scripture clearly teaches you have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Jesus Himself said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you'll surely die in your sins." John 8, 24. And as Philip is teaching the Ethiopian eunuch, they come to a certain water. "Here's water. What hinders me?" Do you remember the hindrance? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Acts 8, verse 36 through 39. And so we're not denying that a person must believe, but is that all that I've got to do? Am I saved the second I believe Jesus is the Son of God? Like the doctrine of can't fall from grace, once saved, always saved, it is true with this doctrine that in the exact language of false teachers, God says we're not saved by faith alone. James chapter 2, verse 24 is such a powerful passage. This passage is discussing true faith versus a faith that won't save. And notice what James says in James 2, verse 24. The Bible says, "You see then that a person is justified by works," notice this, "and not by faith alone." Now, as I hear about the doctrine of faith alone or faith only, it's as though that this idea, this wording occurs in every page of the Bible. As though with every account of conversion, it says, just have faith, faith only. Do you know how many times in Scripture faith alone or faith only is mentioned? One time in the Bible. We hear about it like it's in every conversion, but it's mentioned once in the Bible, and the only time God uses faith alone, He says the exact opposite of what millions are saying. Martin Luther, the Methodist doctrine teaches, and multiplied millions around the world say, all you've got to do is have faith alone to be saved. You know what God says? He mentions it one time, and God says, you are not justified by faith alone. Justified meaning just as if I'd never sinned. You're not forgiven, you're not a child of God, and you're not redeemed at the point of faith alone. And so while it may be popular, while many may agree that it's comforting, the Bible doesn't teach that faith alone will save a person. Now, to make this clear in your mind, if we're going to show today that faith alone, that at the point of belief a person is not saved, what would we have to do? We'd need to present some clear-cut cases in Scripture of people who believed in Jesus and were still lost. If we can do that, we can show clearly that faith alone is not the point at which one is saved. Well, let's look at five examples. Five examples in the New Testament of people who had belief in Jesus. All they had was faith, and they were not saved. John 1 verse 12 tells us, "As many as believed in Him, to them He gave the right to become sons of God." Now think about that for a minute. As many as believed in Him, to Him He gave the right to what? To become. They still had to become something at the point of belief. They still had to become something. They still were not. Belief puts you in the arena of those who now may do the rest of what God says to become a child of God. But it doesn't read this. To as many believed in Him, to them He made them sons of God. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say at the point of belief they were sons of God. They now have the right to become sons of God. Well, think about another example. John chapter 12 and verse 42, the Bible says this, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities or the leaders believed in Him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Even among the leaders, many believed in Him. Now, if this doctrine is true, at this point, these people absolutely must be saved. But can a person be saved without confessing Jesus? Not according to Jesus. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, "If you don't confess Me before men, I won't confess you before the Father is in heaven. But if you do confess Me before men, I also will confess you before the Father who is in heaven." And so here's people, they believe in Jesus. If we take this doctrine correctly, at this point they must be saved. And yet Jesus said, "If you don't confess Me, I'm not going to confess you. You don't say you believe in Me, I'm not going to say to the Father, this is a child of Mine." So another example, people who believe in Jesus yet wouldn't do the rest of what God says. Now, here's one of the clearest examples. John chapter 8, verses 30 and verse 44 make it abundantly clear that a person can believe in Jesus and still be a child of the devil. Notice what John 8, verse 30 says. The Bible says, "As Jesus was saying these things, many believed in Him." Now, in the same context, verse 44, to those same people who just believed in Him, Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks that out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now think about this for a moment. Here are some of the people Jesus is preaching to. As he said these things, what happened? Many believed in him. And yet to that same group of people, without changing the context, Jesus said to them, "You are of your father the devil." What do we learn from this teaching? You can believe in Jesus and still be a child of the devil. Why? If you're not willing to do the rest of what God says, you're not a child of God yet. You're still a child of the devil at the point of belief, but you're working toward obeying God's plan of salvation. Think about another example. Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Saul is confronted on the road to Damascus by the Lord. He responds by saying, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Lord, what would you have me to do?" Saul there recognized Jesus was Lord, believed in Him as that, and called Him that. Was he saved at the point he recognized Jesus as Lord? Absolutely not. In fact, Acts chapter 22, we get the rest of the story. In verse 16, Ananias comes to Saul. "Saul, Saul, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized." And what happened? "Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." At the point of belief, Paul's sins were not gone. He was not a child of God yet. He had to do God's will. You know, let's stop right here for just a moment and think about something else as well. Oftentimes I hear people say, and it's in association with the idea of faith alone, that to be saved, all you need to do is believe in Jesus and say the sinner's prayer. And that goes something like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you're Savior of my life. I accept you into my heart, and I ask you to come and fill my life. Something to that effect. Well, is that true also? To be saved, must I say a sinner's prayer? We hear it all the time. People mention it everywhere. Do you know how many times it occurs in the Bible? How many New Testament cases of conversion were people told to say the sinner's prayer? Zero. You will not find the sinner's prayer anywhere in the Bible. You can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation till your eyes bug out, and you will not find the sinner's prayer. In fact, if there was ever a sinner who would have been saved that way, it would have been Saul. Acts 9, verses 10 through 12, Saul is 3 days without food, and he's there praying. Don't you know Saul said many a sinner's prayers? Was he saved at that point? Absolutely not. He wasn't saved until he got up, obeyed God concerning baptism, and had his sins washed away. And so Saul is an example of a man who believed in Jesus, even prayed, and yet he wasn't saved yet. What about James chapter 2, verse 19? Here's a clear example, and logically, if belief alone saves, we're going to have some very awkward conclusions in James 2, verse 19. Notice what the Bible says. James says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." If the idea of belief alone is true, then demons are going to be saved. Why? Because the demons recognize there's one God. Who says the demons are going to be saved? Well, no one admits that. But logically, they must be if all it takes is belief. But you know what belief will really get you? Belief will get you the same thing it's going to get the demons. A front row seat in the halls of hell right next to all the demons. Why? Because if all I've got is belief and I never take that to do the rest of what God says with, if it never motivates me to meet the rest of God's commands, I'm not going to be saved. Remember, faith alone will not justify us. James chapter 2 and verse 24. And so here are five examples. Case examples of people who believed in Jesus and were not saved. Now, why else will belief alone, faith only, not save? It won't save because the passages people use to promote this doctrine don't actually teach it. Let's think about three of those passages. Probably the most familiar is Acts 2, verse 21. In Acts chapter 2, verse 21, Peter, quoting prophetically, quotes the prophet, and he says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, someone says, "Well, do you deny that?" Of course not. We're not denying that if you call on God's name, you're going to be saved. But what does that mean? Does that mean that the calling on the name of the Lord, does that mean all I've got to do is say, "Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to be saved"? Let's let the Bible be its own best commentary here. What does the Bible say it means to call on the name of the Lord? Remember Saul's conversion? Notice Acts 22, verse 16. Ananias comes to him in Acts 22, verse 16, and he says, "Now why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Notice this now. Calling on the name of the Lord. How does the Bible tell me to call on the name of the Lord? Does it say all you've got to do is express faith in Jesus? That's not what it means to call on the name of the Lord. According to the Bible, in Acts 22, 16, it means that I get up, that I obey God in baptism, have my sins washed away, and that's how I call on the name of God. But what about another passage that's often misused? Probably one of the most well-known among religious people today. John 3, 16. Notice these words. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so people come here and they say, "Well, look, God said if you believe in Jesus, you're going to have eternal life." Question, does it say all you've got to do is believe? It's not what the text says. How do we understand John 3:16? First of all, we need to understand the context. In John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, the background is the serpent that was raised up in the wilderness. You remember the context. The people of God had began to murmur and complain. God sent fiery serpents in among them. They were biting the people. The people were dying. They cry out to God. Moses, on their behalf, approaches God. And God says, here's what you do to provide salvation. You erect a serpent on a pole, place it in the middle of the camp. Anyone who is bitten must stop what he's doing, find that serpent, physically go to it and look at it, and that person will be saved. In the same way, John uses that example and says, even so, the Son of Man was lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in the context of Numbers, where that serpent occurs, the moment they believe or they saved, well, let's think about it. Serpent bites someone. He knows what God has said, and he sits there and he says, I believe I'll be saved. Is he going to be saved at that point? He believes. That's all he's got. Will he be saved? No. Not until he physically locates that serpent and looks at it is he saved. There were acts he had to do, things required by God, not just the moment he believed that serpent would save, was he saved. He had to do things that God commanded. That's the context of the Bible. In fact, the word belief never means just mental acceptance alone. It is the obedience of faith. Romans 1:5, Romans 16:26 that saves people. Well, what about Romans 10:9-10? I hear people often talk about the Roman road to salvation. Notice the words of Romans 10:9-10. The Bible says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now again, we're not doubting that belief is a step in God's plan of salvation. But is belief alone all there is? Well, Romans 10:9 doesn't even teach that. If you believe and confess, there's another step. It can't be belief alone. And you've got to take what the rest of the Bible and the rest of the book of Romans says. Think about Romans 6:1-4. This is essential, isn't it? Notice what Paul says here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What else is essential in the book of Romans? If I'm going to contact the death of Christ, be buried with Him, and rise to a new life, Romans also teaches I must be baptized. And so the passages people often use don't teach that faith alone is all I've got to have. And not only that, but in Scripture, a saving faith is always a faith that demands action. For example, in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus clearly taught. Here's some New Testament examples. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus clearly taught that if a person is going to please Him, he must have an active faith. Notice the words of Jesus. Jesus clearly said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Now, to say I love Jesus is not enough. Anybody can say that. What's Jesus saying? If you really love Me, what are you going to do? You're going to keep My commandments. Think about the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. They came to Jesus crying out and imploring Him to heal them. And here's what Jesus said. Go, show yourself to the priest, make the offering, and you will be healed. Now remember, just one of those came back. But had they not gone to the priest, had they not made the required offering of the old law, would they have been saved? Let's say they believed Jesus and yet they never did anything. Would they be saved? Absolutely not. And so there are clear examples in the Bible of people who weren't saved until they did all that God said. And friend, that's the key to it all. Listen carefully. The problem with faith alone is it doesn't factor all of what God says concerning salvation. It's like trying to look at a painting by looking at one spot on that painting. It's like trying to read a novel and opening to one chapter and just getting part of it. It doesn't take into account all God says, and the Bible teaches we must. For example, Psalm 119:160 says this, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous commandments endures forever. How much of God's word is truth? Bits and pieces, what I like and what I don't like? No, the entirety. I've got to take all of what God says. And friend, it is essential that I obey God's word in its entirety. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9 clearly says, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. And I want you to think about faith alone in view of Matthew 7, verse 21. If there were ever a clear passage that shows faith alone won't save, this is it. Look at the words of Jesus, Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." It's not everybody who just looks up and says, "Lord, Lord, I believe in Jesus." He has said, no, that's not the person who will be saved, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You know, faith only leaves out so much. It's like this. It's like trying to bake a cake. Or make fill a recipe without using all the ingredients. For example, let's say we're going to make a cake. And on the bottom half of one page, you've got recipes, ingredients. And on the top half of one page, you have other ingredients. Here's what faith alone is like. Let's say that on the bottom of that page, it says add flour and eggs and salt. And you say, well, okay, I'm going to do that. And you mix all that together and you throw it in the oven. Are you going to get something you'd want? Is that going to be a very good tasting cake? Well, you forgot that on the top part of that page it said add spices, add sugar, and so forth. It's like taking just part of what God says. You haven't taken all of what the Bible says. You haven't put it all together to see what Scripture teaches concerning salvation. Well, let's do that. What are all of God's conditions for salvation? First, a person must hear the Word of God. Now, I know hearing is essential because faith is essential. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, whatever way by which I get faith is also essential. How do I get faith? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I have to hear, listen to the Word of God to be saved. Psalm 95, verse 7 says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion." And by hearing the Word of God, we mean, the Bible means, we've got to accept this as God's inspired Word, the only authority on all matters relating to God and salvation. Only thing I'm accountable for on the day of judgment is this book. Jesus said, "He rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him, the words that I've spoken." Once I've heard the Word of God, then I must believe in Jesus. Again, we're not denying belief. Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I'm He, you'll surely die in your sins." But remember, James 2:24 says, we're not justified by faith alone. What else must I do? I also must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Acts 3, verse 19, Peter proclaimed, "Repent and turn again, that your sins must be blotted out." And so I hear the Word, I must believe in Jesus, I must repent, I also must confess. Romans 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "With the heart, with the mind, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33? Jesus said, "If you don't confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father who is in heaven." And so once I confess, then I also must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible clearly teaches that you cannot have your sin removed and you cannot be saved before baptism. Notice the words of Acts 2:38. Here is such a clear statement from the Word of God. The Bible says, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" What must I do to have forgiveness of sin? I must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 22:16 again makes it abundantly clear that's the point, sins are washed away. Saul was told, arise and be baptized, listen, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus made it so clear in Mark 16, verse 16. He said this. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Yes, you've got to believe, and if you don't believe, you're not even a candidate to be baptized, to be saved. But notice, he who believes, and Jesus conjoins this, and is baptized will be saved. Question, does baptism come before or after salvation in that verse? It's clear. Baptism is before salvation, according to the words of Jesus. Think about 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism does now also save us. Baptism is something I must do to be saved. People all the time say, baptism doesn't save. That is blatant error. And the Scripture explicitly says, baptism does now also, combined with hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, baptism is essential to salvation. Now remember John 3:16? But what about a few verses before that? Do you know what Jesus said there? Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I've got to be baptized also to get into God's kingdom. And so will faith alone save? Listen carefully. If you've bought into the idea that all you had to do was believe in Jesus, friend, may we kindly say to you today that you are not saved. The Bible says you are not justified, you are not saved, you're still lost. You will go to hell if you don't make other requirements, meet the other requirements. But the good news is you can be saved, and more than anything, we want you to be saved, and God wants you to go to heaven. Won't you obey God's plan of salvation today?